Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 16th day of March, 2023. I am so pumped up about the next G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. I have been to quite a number of the G3 conferences, manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and it is always an extraordinary blessing in every way, not only to be ministered to by hearing extraordinary preachers. Some of the finest preachers alive on the planet Earth have been featured at the G3 conferences over the years. And not only am I blessed by that, but I'm always blessed as well, manning my exhibitor's booth to meet not only people that I've never heard from before, who inform me how much they love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and encourage me greatly, but also to meet listeners that have very often submitted questions, but I've never seen face-to-face until they stroll by the booth, and also to have an opportunity to do on-site interviews with some of the men speaking and some of the listeners. And we're going to be talking about the 2023 G3 National Conference with the Executive Director of Operations at G3 Ministries. And we're also going to be talking about two themes today. We're going to start off with the theme, is it okay to be white? And I will be anxiously waiting to hear the answer to that question as I mop sweat off my brow. And then in the second half of the program, we're going to have our guest give a response to Rick Warren's case for female elders. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Virgil Walker.
Hey, Chris, I'm honored to be with you, man. Always enjoy our conversations and looking forward to this one as well.
Amen. Well, tell our listeners who may be unfamiliar with G3 Ministries about this phenomenal organization. We do have, it seems, new listeners joining the audience almost every week from what I'm gathering from my emails that I receive. So there may be some that are unfamiliar with G3, other than the fact that they're hearing at least three ads every day in my show promoting your conference. Yeah. But tell us about G3 Ministries.
Yeah, G3 Ministries is a ministry that's been around since about 2012, 2013. The first conference actually took place in 2013 here on the campus of Praise Mill Baptist Church. It was the brainchild of Dr. Josh Bice, who is the founder and president of G3 Ministries, but is also the pastor of a local church. His heart's desire was to bring a theology conference to his local church setting in an effort to expose them to just some of the great preaching that was available. He had great connections from his days at Southern Seminary and some of the other spaces and places that he had been. And so it was a kind of a natural hand in glove fit for, you know, some great preachers that would come and participate in the conference. But from the very beginning, he knew that it was something unique about it in that the church holds somewhere in the neighborhood of about 600 people. And the very first conference was absolutely packed with college students, kind kind of showing up early, sleeping in their cars in an effort to get in. And he recognized pretty early on that definitely there was something special that was happening in that there were people hungry for sound biblical preaching, teaching, an expositional approach to the scriptures, and just sound biblical theology. And it was with that that over the course of years, the conference grew. G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And by 2017, they had to move away from the church, the local church, and move into a convention center. They had moved to the GICC, the Georgia International Convention Center, there in Atlanta, Georgia, where some 2,000 plus people showed up for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And so we're excited about that, and the conference grew. The thought was that they would return back to the local church, but the demand for attendees at the conference did not enable that to happen. So each year from 2017 to 2020, right before I came on, the conference has absolutely grown and exploded. About 5,000 plus joined in 2020. That was about the time I got tapped on the shoulder for the opportunity to be in the role that I'm in as the executive director of operations. I maintain oversight and function in my role as I cover all of the conference side of the house. G3 transitioned in 2020 to not just a conference-based ministry, but a content-producing ministry. We recognize the need for local church pastors to have a lot of the resources, teaching tools, and things that we put in our exhibit hall. They needed to have those in their hands. And so it was with that Josh had in mind to make a shift, to move in a direction where we would have G3 Press, where we are able to publish books, a space where we can publish curricula for everything from homeschool moms to folks who are in Bible studies. And so we provide a lot of those resources on our website for free. We hired an executive vice president, editor-in-chief, Scott Annual. He covers all of the content side. We do collaborate very often on a number of different key issues, but for the most part, I handle all of the conferences, all of the workshops that we do, our expository preaching workshop, our biblical worship workshops, and the like. And so I get a chance to function on that side. We have a historic church tour happening that will be happening in October as well. So I get the joy of providing that function, and he does a lot of the editing and the books and the publishing and all of those pieces of the puzzle. So 2021, we had our national conference where 6,500 people showed up. We are now preparing for our national conference, which is in every other year. It's a biennial conference in 2023. And we anticipate, Chris, and you've been around a long time, so you've actually watched this thing grow. We anticipate somewhere in the neighborhood of about 8,500 plus people that will be at the upcoming G3 conference, September 21st through the 23rd in 2023.
Well, as always, you guys have a mind-blowing roster of speakers at this event. We've got Voddie Baucham, probably one of the finest, not only the finest preachers on the planet Earth, I mean, not even probably, he definitely is, but probably the one of the fastest growing in popularity and in fascination of Christians of all stripes theologically who are discovering him and becoming riveted by him. I am hearing more and more from people who are outside of the circles of the Reformed faith who ask me, have you ever heard of this guy, Voddie Baucham? I saw him on YouTube. I am so blown away. It's just amazing. Yeah. And of course, as his popularity grows on one side of the coin, he's gaining enemies.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. The Bible says, absolutely, beware when all men speak well of you, and not all are definitely speaking well of Voddie.
Right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, he's the circles he's beginning to travel outside of just our Christian circles. I'm watching him. He's attending events related to conservatism, entering some of the political spaces, but he's doing so from a standpoint of biblical worldview, Christian ethics. You know, he's best known. I learned of him almost a decade or more ago as a cultural apologist. And so, not that he wasn't preaching, but that was the area of his study, and he was phenomenal at it. And often gets called by different news media outlets to speak about issues of culture and the like. And that absolutely is not going to slow down. So you're right, as notoriety of Bodhi and men like him begin to increase, he'll be someone that new people are always just now discovering, though you and I have known about Bodhi for a decade or more.
Yes, and also on the roster, Steve Lawson, Paul Washer, Phil Johnson, my dear friend of many years, in fact, several decades, James White, Mike Riccardi, Justin Peters, Ken Ham, Owen Strand, Josh Bice, your boss over there at G3, James Coates, Scott Annual, you, and your co-host at the Just Thinking podcast, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Scott Brown, and Susan Heck. I have interviewed all of these speakers at some point or another, except James Coates. I hope to get him on the program. And I do have, although I have never interviewed her before, I have Susan Heck scheduled for an interview on Wednesday, March 29th. But I hope to get all of the speakers, or as many as possible, interviewed again prior to the G3 conference. I just had Scott Brown on last week for the first time as a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron, and we promoted the conference. And so I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, well, I will tell you, the sooner you get those up, the better. We're going to be adding another 15 plus speakers to the roster.
How is that even possible?
Yeah, we just don't slow down, and we're trying to gather the best of the best. And so we've got another list of about 15 additional speakers to add to that. They'll be in a variety of different spaces and places, from plenary sessions to breakouts we'll even have some panel discussions kind of on the side as well. So just a lot of things that are going to be in the mix, and there'll be a number of additional people that you'll begin to see over the course of the next few months as we slowly announce new speakers, new topics, all related to the main topic, which is the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. And so, as you can imagine, with a theological idea with the doctrine that large, we have to solicit as many people to cover areas of their specialty as possible. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. People will not want to miss this conference.
And it's on one of the most important topics that a Christian could hear preached about and taught, the sovereignty of God.
Absolutely. I can't think of a better topic, subject, and primarily, Chris, it's because of the fact that right now, when you look at culture, secular culture, Christian culture, there are really two waves of attack that are taking place. With culture, in every way, shape, and form, God's sovereignty is under attack. Issues of gender, things that God's already decided. He is the creator. He has made the determination of what male and female is and how that's supposed to operate. Ideas like marriage, he has a clear direction based upon scripture that's between one man and one woman in a covenant union for life. He's made the determination on gender as well. And so as we witness culture militates against these ideas, what they're really against is God's sovereignty, God's say-so on these matters. And so it's imperative for believers to gather together and understand, not be tossed to and fro by these crazy winds of doctrine that we have out there. And unfortunately, we're seeing them begin to invade the church. And so it's imperative that we gather together, understand the nature of the doctrine of God's sovereignty, understand how to explain these ideas in the various areas where we witness culture is on the move and trying to attack. We need to have answers for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And so it's an opportunity for us to sharpen the sword where that's concerned, get clarity in our minds, and so that we're not confused. In addition, I told you it's a two-pronged attack. The first is mainly the one in culture that attacks the sufficiency, or rather the sovereignty of God. The other matter relates in the church to the sufficiency of Scripture, and where Christians fall down and lose it and begin to capitulate, begin to bow the knee to some of these godless ideas and ideologies that the world offers, is that we have neglected the fact that Scripture is sufficient to address these matters. And so what we begin to appeal to, you and I have talked about it on this show often, we begin to appeal to worldly and godless ideologies that begin to be promoted in the culture. Ideas around socialism, ideas around critical theory, ideas around critical race theory, gender theory, queer theory, and all of these ideas, these man-made godless ideas that are nothing more than an excuse for people to engage in their own form of sin. And so they come up with an idea or a theory. They act as if that theory is equivalent to Scripture. And unfortunately, Christians, rather than holding tightly to what Scripture says about these things, begin to be soft-hearted about these things, not believing that the Bible is sufficient to handle these, and then they find themselves duped in the process.
Well, this event is going to be held from Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, September 23rd in Atlanta, Georgia. And if you want to register, go to g3men.org, g3men.org. You're going to be hearing ads throughout this broadcast, voiced by my friend Dr. James R. White, promoting this. And please use the promo code G3ISIR. You will get 30% off the registration fee if you use the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio promo code G3ISIR. There is a bit of a competition going on between all of the venues and media outlets promoting the G3 conference. I am smack dab in the middle. I am number 7 out of 13.
They're actually 15, just so you know. So you're right. You're smack dab in the middle. There are 15 folks that are doing this, 13 that were recognized, but yeah, 15 total.
Okay, so I'm actually a little bit better than I thought.
Yeah.
But folks, please help me rise up in that list. As I said, I'm very impressed that I'm beating out Sermon Audio at least. Please, folks, if you have not yet registered, please register. In fact, this is an ideal conference for you to bring not only lost friends, but Arminian friends, Roman Catholic friends, and others who do not believe in the sovereignty of God, at least in the biblical sense of what that truly means. And who knows, you may be walking out of that place with brethren in Christ who are on the same page with you theologically that were not when you walked through the door originally. God may use this conference to correct serious theological error and also reignite your own zeal and passion for the truth and further equip you to be even more ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. So please register at g3men.org, g3min.org, and use promo code ISIR. And we are talking, as I said earlier, about two themes today. We're going to start off with, is it okay to be white? Obviously, this is a rhetorical question, especially when people know who Virgil Walker is. They know the answer to that question already. If you ask a lot of people today, the answer would be no, it's not okay. But tell us what drove you to actually discuss this theme that seems on its surface ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is interesting as I began watching what's taking place. One, and first of all, just to kind of put some context around it, I think everywhere you look, you're beginning to see that what's being called white, cisgender, heteronormative males, right? There are all these words to describe, you know, what we would call a man or a white guy. There are all these additional words and labels that are used. All of those are used to provide a category of male, of man in particular, that we believe deserves to be oppressed. And the reason for that is because in the historic narrative of those who hold to CRT and social justice, that the white male has for so long been the oppressor. And so in their system, rather than finding any kind of forgiveness, rather than finding any kind of reconciliation, what they have available in their system is oppression. So rather than seeking reconciliation of any kind, they have the tools of racism that they believe that they've been abused by and abhor. They turn those around and use those against who they believe to be the majority. And so what you have everywhere you turn, whether it's on your favorite news channel, whether it's a comedian in a comic show, whether it's movies, you name the arena, what you're going to find is that the white males in particular, but whites in general, are talked about in ways that if you would simply reverse the language to some other ethnic group, what was said would be deemed racist on its face. And so it's with that in mind that, I began to think about this, thinking, man, there at some point is going to be some backlash. Either one, you call someone a racist enough, they're going to say, you know what, I'll show you what a racist looks like. Or two, they're going to buy into all of what is being said about them and believe that in some way, somehow, they need to bow their knee and recognize that being white is, again, according to current culture, is some innate sin that can't be washed away by any means. And so that the only fix to this is a works based righteousness where you're kowtowing and bending the knee to people of color, so to speak. It's with that in mind that it was interesting that there was a Twitter rant by a man by the name of Scott Adams. And so Scott Adams, pretty generic name until you understand that this Scott Adams is the same person who is the American cartoonist and novelist Scott Adams, who has a series in news media, newspapers published in thousands of newspapers and magazines all across, not just the country, but around the world. He has a series called Dilbert. And if you've ever looked at cartoons, you've seen his Dilbert cartoon and maybe have followed it for a while and made note of it from time to time. He's also an author of several books. He went on Twitter and began talking about his outrage about a Rasmussen poll. And the Rasmussen poll showed that 46% of the people who responded to the poll disagreed or were uncertain about the statement that it's okay to be white. And so as he navigates this, he's looking at this 46% and he's thinking, okay, 54% think it's okay, but 46%, a very near majority, minority only by a small margin of people of color and blacks who think perhaps it's not okay to be white. And his rant, he went on to say, if that's the case, just generically speaking, if someone does not care about you or thinks it's not okay for you to be the skin color you are, or if they don't feel like anything that's been done historically speaking on your part or on the part of others who look like you who are white, then it's probably in the best interest not to be around these people. He was very explicit in his response to this, and he says, just get away from black people, and he said this very, very kind of stone faced, very stoic, but very emphatically that it's time to remove yourself from black people, and again he considered these blacks who felt this way about the issue of being white, he felt that they were a hate group, and thought that it would be best to get away from them. Now he left this up. And as you can imagine, in our current climate, there was an immediate response and reaction to this. First of all, the first response was just outrage on Twitter, followed by the thousands of news organizations around the country who carried the Dilbert cartoon, canceled him immediately. So that was the immediate response to his rant. So as I watched this, my initial thought about this, I was not outraged by anything that he said. I thought that there was probably a bit of logic in what he was saying, but I was curious as to why, knowing what he knows, as smart as he is, and with the level of success that he had, why he would do such a thing. So it caused me to kind of ponder that issue, and I ended up kind of beginning to write an article posted on the G3 website, g3men.org, and asked the question, is it okay to be white? And in the article, I began by going backwards historically. I looked at James Brown. In 1968, he recorded a song that would eventually land 6 weeks at the top of the charts in 1968, called "Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud." And it's a song I've heard numerous times and thought little of it, thought, wow, this is kind of a great anthem. As I studied it, I recognized this was kind of in during the civil rights era, this was kind of a Dilbert moment, if you will. Blacks had felt like they were the oppressed and were tired of it. And this was the anthem to say, hey, I'm going to say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud, and I'm not going to deal with or tolerate racism any longer. So the question I began to pose is what we're seeing with Scott Adams and his Dilbert response, is this his, you know, is this his James Brown moment? Is this his say it loud, I'm white and I'm proud? Of course, again, you can't say those kinds of things in our current culture. But again, I love, you know this about me, I love to challenge the status quo. I love to get people to think. And so I posed the question in the article and began to ask some questions. So that's kind of the background of how this whole reality got started.
By the way, I much prefer James Brown's Living in America.
Yes, sir.
But we're going to go to our first commercial break right now. If you have a question for Virgil Walker on is it okay to be white or anything connected to the woke movement, social justice warriors, etc., our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker after these messages. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com
That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing deal. They are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener who mentions Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they are purchasing jewelry, either jewelry that is already in stock at royaldiadem.com for $100 or more, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry created like an engagement ring. Or suppose somebody listening really loves G3 Ministries or the Just Thinking podcast, and they want to give my guest Virgil Walker a gift, and they want to take the G3 logo or the Just Thinking logo and turn it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or another kind of piece of jewelry. Or if it's your own church, your own denomination, your own seminary, whatever it is that your imagination and creativity can conjure up, they will turn what's in your brain into a stunning, mind-blowing piece of jewelry. I've seen their work firsthand. As I've mentioned many times, one of the sons of the woman who led me to Christ has a cross pendant for a necklace along with a crown of thorns on the cross. It is absolutely stunning. It's just amazing the craftsmanship that they have over there at royaldiadem.com. So please, I have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer. So go to royaldiadem.com soon if you have any intention on purchasing jewelry for yourself or somebody that you love. Go to royaldiadem.com and either purchase something that they have in stock or get the ball rolling on your custom-designed piece of jewelry and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's royaldiadem.com. We're now back with Virgil Walker. We are in the process of discussing our first topic today. Is it okay to be white? And then later on, we're going to be discussing a response to Rick Warren's case for female elders. If you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania who says, isn't it wrong for a Christian to be proud about anything other than the cross of Christ, no matter what our nation of origin is, no matter what our skin color or ethnicity? Are those things worthy to be saying that we are proud of them? I mean, people very often use as synonyms proud and unashamed.
Right.
Or even proud and grateful, proud and thankful. proud and content, proud and happy. There's nothing wrong with somebody saying, I am absolutely happy and content, even thankful to God that I was born into a black family raised by black parents, and I just love being black. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I understand where the listener is coming from. When you throw the word proud in there, it's an odd thing to be proud of when you had nothing to do with it.
right. Absolutely. I completely agree. In fact, the person who's responding there really kind of went to the to the kind of response side of what I delivered in my blog article. I kind of walked through the issue with Scott Adams, the challenge that he had with the 46% of those who disagreed with the statement that it's okay to be white. He labeled them a hate group. He advised whites to stay away from blacks. He received a tremendous amount of backlash and outrage as a result, being really canceled, removed from thousands of newspapers and places where his cartoon had been featured, costing him, you know, untold amounts of money. In fact, there was an interview that he did days after this kind of outrageous, expression. And what he said was, you know, it really cost him everything as far as Dilbert was concerned. But he felt that it was important for him to be able to say what it is he felt. He's a big believer in free speech, but he said free speech isn't free. That there's a high price, a high cost to it, that only few are willing to pay. And he had decided, as he went on his Twitter rant, that he was ready to pay it so that he could say what he wanted to say and that people could hear what it is they needed to hear. He used this moment in the same way that many use Twitter, right? It's a space to express things that create outrage, right? Twitter algorithms increase with the more outrage that can be examined as people, you know, give their thoughts. If you can make the most outrageous claim or make the most outrageous statement, then your tweet gets a lot of likes, goes viral. People like it. And you're the one talked about. Scott Adams was not an ignorant man. He knew what he was doing. He did it for a reason and felt that there was something that he needed to say. And this guy, while labeled by the media as a right-wing conservative, he was far from it. In fact, he had done work with the Black Lives Matter organization. He was in support of reparations. He is in support of affirmative action. He voted for Democratic policies and their candidates for years. This is his own admission. He said he just became disillusioned when he recognized that organizations like Black Lives Matter, he said, and I quote, it became immediately apparent that Black Lives Matter was not a serious organization that cared about solutions, end quote. So he's been on the inside of this thing, seeing it with a clear face, understanding what's taking place and realizing that that for the most part, those who are part of the organization really had every intention of taking advantage of black lives rather than black lives really mattering. And so it's with that he wanted to have this moment where he expressed his outrage for the purpose of changing shifting the conversation and talking about issues that really matter. He went on after this outburst, he went on a number of different news broadcasts and shows in the weeks following to give his side of the events. And he admitted that, you know, he had no intention of leaving blacks or getting away from blacks. He even joked that couldn't be possible. But if anyone knew him or knew his background, he has in the past said a number of incendiary things, all for the purpose of changing the national dialogue, changing the cultural conversation. And so it's with that he believes in self-improvement. His worldview is more of a pandeist worldview, which is the idea that God created everything, but that he no longer exists outside of it, that he's actually in everything. So it's a pandeism. God is in everything. He also believes in kind of the law of attraction, as made popular by Oprah Winfrey and her and the book that she promoted called The Secret. And those are his worldviews. And so he leveraged issues of ethnicity, issues of what the culture calls race, in an effort to examine human beings and human behavior and really challenge people to do the right thing. At the end of the day, I really, as I examined his approach and his worldview, my thought was all of what he may promote, while there may be some right things that he said, and while there may be some valuable ideas that he will share in the way of solutions, at the end of the day, his conclusions fall far short of God's design for mankind. And so when we think about the fact that we are image bearers of God who've been given dominion, and that we're to glorify God in all we do, if we start from that framework, we no longer see or we no longer differentiate. Let me say it this way. We no longer appeal to sinful partiality as it relates to ethnicity. If we understand that we're image bearers of God who've been given dominion by God and that we're to glorify God in all we do, we recognize that whatever shade of melanin we have in our skin, all of what we do in this space during our time on earth is in an effort to give God the most glory out of our lives. And so we also recognize that we are sinners who deserve God's wrath. And as a result of that, we need to cling to the finished work of Christ and him crucified so that we can be ransomed from death and given the ultimate gift from God, which is eternal life. Once those things have been reconciled, we can live a life that is devoid of sinful partiality. And when we do recognize it, we have an answer and a solution in repentance and faith in Christ, and the movement of the Spirit in the life of the believer that reorients our thinking. And so, those are the things that I would appeal to. I ended the article by saying, you know, both men, James Brown, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, as well as Scott Adams and his outrage about this issue, they appeal to things that are only skin deep, right? They don't appeal to the things that are eternal. And if we're to ever get a solution on issues related to reconciliation, both with God and with one another, we have to appeal to something much greater than skin color, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that was where I ended the article, and it was interesting to see the responses of others to the article, both good and bad, and they're common to what I've experienced with other issues like this that I've spoken about.
I don't know if you've already thoroughly answered our next listener's question, because she sent it kind of while you were early on in talking about the Dilbert comic. But Cindy in Findlay, Ohio says, do you think that the cartoonist author of the Gilbert, it's actually Dilbert, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
Dilbert series was using absurdity to show absurdity as Rush Limbaugh used to claim to do. Do you think any of his response was intentional hyperbole? And in fact, if you want to throw in addition to Rush Limbaugh, Tucker Carlson does that practically every time he opens up his program. He'll be saying things that are really the polar opposite of what he believes because he's being sarcastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I know. I mean, in the preceding interviews after this outburst, he said, absolutely, people have got to recognize hyperbole. People have got to recognize, the outrage that I expressed was not a genuine, authentic outrage. It was stated for the purpose of exposing the absolute bankruptcy of a worldview that would tell others, blacks or people of color, that they need to separate from another group, or that they would be better off if they had a quote unquote safe space away from people that didn't look like them. He's exposing the fallacy, the idiocy, the ridiculousness of those kinds of worldviews. And so again, because of the fact that, you know, that language like that only is able to go one way from blacks aimed at whites, it was definitely a problematic for the tables to be turned and for him to say things about blacks that only blacks are allowed to say aimed toward whites.
Thank you, Cindy. We have a man who is the owner, one of the owners. He and his wife own the jewelry store that is a sponsor of this program, Royal Diadem. You just heard their ad earlier, royaldiadem.com. Sterling Vanderwerker has a question. Listening to the show today, two of my favorite Christian men. Hello to you, Virgil. And the question is, are you keeping up with your sidekick, Daryl Harrison, out of the People's Republic of California? Hope we see you on the way to the fall conference. And I think that is directed to me because I usually stop in North Carolina on my way. Grace and peace to you, brothers. So, and by the way, Sterling, his name is Daryl Harrison, not Harrington. I don't know if this is one of those voice-activated emails that always messes things up. But anyway, you have an answer for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sterling, hello to you. Thanks for the message. Got a number of things I'd say about that. Yes, I keep up with Daryl Harrison on almost a daily basis, if not every day, every other day. We're texting or talking or emailing back and forth, watching what he's doing. I just recently returned from the Shepherds Conference out there in the People's Republic of California. Yeah, and had the wonderful opportunity of experiencing Daryl, who was asked by Dr. John MacArthur himself to give an address, kind of a postmortem of the woke movement. And so Daryl got to traverse the platform, the podium, and grace the stage there at Grace Community Church, was in the pulpit of Dr. John MacArthur, able to deliver his message, his sermon. And my heart was beating out of my chest. I was, you talk about proud. I was absolutely proud of my brother and just knowing the background that both he and I come from. One that was steeped in charismaticism. I call it charismania, charismaticism, and the Pentecostalism that we've come out of, and to have been involved in Reformed circles for quite some time, growing in these circles, and having the opportunity to work for the fantastic organizations that we do. Myself here at G3 Ministries, Daryl Harrison there in California with Grace to You, the teaching ministry of Dr. John MacArthur. For him to grace that podium that we've watched for more than, you know, close to two decades now, and for him to be able to deliver a message, it was an incredible moment. I know it won't be the last, but it was an incredible moment to experience with him, and just did a fantastic job. I'm hopeful that particular sermon that he delivered is something that everyone has the opportunity to hear when they get everything squared away and tightened up from ShepCon. But yeah, I stay in touch with Daryl pretty consistently. He's less than a phone call away. I mean, I've got him on a text message usually, you know, 2-3 times a week. He's already got another episode in the can, sent me, you know, 18-19 pages of work that he wants me to go through in preparation for our next show, and he's already thinking about the show after that. So yeah, we're in constant contact.
Well, we have to go to our break right now, our midway break. And by the way, thank you very much, Sterling, and I hope that you get a lot of business out of these commercials so that I can get 100% of the profits from those sales, as you have offered to us from royaldiadem.com. This is the longer break than the other breaks. Use this time wisely, please. Not only send in a question to Virgil Walker on our topic that is coming up on female elders or a response to the defense of them by Rick Warren, but also write down as much of the contact information that our advertisers provide so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Virgil Walker after these messages. Back together again.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thank you. If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnton is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all of your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back as far back as the Protestant Reformation, and extending forward to our current day with such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnton of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Virgil Walker, who is an author, executive director of operations at G3 Ministries, and co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way? Well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your business, whether it is a private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it is your church, your parachurch ministry, perhaps it is a special event you're having that you want to promote. Well, whatever it is, as long as it is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please remember, folks, I never want anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience to cut into the finances that you have set aside to give to your own local church every Lord's Day in order to send us a financial gift. Please never do that. Never give your own church where you're a member less money than you're accustomed to giving them because you want to bless us with a gift. Also, please never send in a gift if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet. I don't want to be responsible for even more bills, unpaid bills, stacking up on your kitchen table. But if you love this show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent recreational and trivial purposes. Well, if you love the show, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, I want to remind you, if you are a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastors luncheon that will be held Thursday, April 13th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring my dear friends for decades, Dr. William Webster, who is a Banner of Truth author and pastor in Battleground, Washington, and also Reverend David T. King, who is the associate pastor of a PCA church, Christ Church in Katy, Texas, and also the co-author with Dr. Webster of the groundbreaking 900-page, three-volume work, Holy Scripture, the Ground and Pillar of Our Faith. These two men will be speaking at my luncheon. It's free of charge. And not only will you be fed physically and spiritually at this event for free, but everybody attending will leave that place with a heavy sack of free, brand new books, personally selected by me. This is all because of the generosity of Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. So, if you want to register, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put luncheon in the subject line. It's free for all men in ministry leadership. And then immediately following that, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 14th, 15th, and 16th, those same two men, Dr. Webster and Reverend King, will be speaking at a three-day Bible conference at a different church, Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on the theme, the gospel, removed by Rome, rescued by the reformers, and rejected by modern evangelicals. That is the 14th through the 16th of April at Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, also absolutely free of charge. And there is a difference. This conference is open to everyone, men, women, and children, unlike the pastor's conference that is just open to men. So if you want to register for that, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put conference in the subject line. And last but not least, if you're not a member of a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, theologically sound church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I Need a Church in the subject line. I've helped many people all over the world in our audience find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And I may be able to help you too. So send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put I Need a Church in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Virgil Walker on the theme, a response to Rick Warren's defense of women elders in the church. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. So tell us, Virgil, what is the latest on that whole scenario with Rick Warren and the Southern Baptist Convention and his already ordaining women while still a Southern Baptist in defiance of their rules.
Yeah. Well, that took place a couple of years ago, the putting in elders in place, and Warren and other leaders at the church, they're celebrating that fact that that they had, you know, opened the doors to women serving as elders, installing elders into their church, women as pastors in the church. That was definitely celebrated. And then closer, more recently, closer to his departure from Saddleback Church, he placed in leadership to take over after he moved on, a husband and wife pastoral duo. And so, you know, he was unapologetic, unashamed about that, felt like that was the right thing for him to do. More recently, just a few days ago, he was on a podcast with Russell Moore, and in the podcast, the whole conversation revolved around his defense of having women as pastors. And of course the Southern Baptist Convention, after much consternation during the previous SBC convention, had initially, the response by them was that they weren't sure, at least the committees weren't sure, if the Baptist Faith and Message, which is the statement that all Southern Baptists, coalesce around, combine around and connect on, the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, is the document that they look to as a source of their cooperation with one another. They weren't sure if that document was actually clear on men, or on women rather, serving in the role of pastor. And so because they weren't sure initially, they had decided that they wanted to take a look for another year and determine whether or not a woman could indeed be pastor, even though Scripture is absolutely clear about this particular issue. Well, after much back and forth, it would be, this year, recently, and again, conveniently, prior to the next Southern Baptist Convention convening in June, that they made the decision to disfellowship Saddleback Church, the former church of Rick Warren. The church is in California. It is a very well-known church, very large church, and has been a part of a network of churches. They're primarily in the California area. But Rick Warren went on Russell Moore's podcast in an interview to just kind of talk about what he believed were the reasons that, biblically speaking, it was okay for him to put a female in the office and role of pastor. And as he kind of laid out his lines of argumentation, the first one kind of began with the fact that women, the SBC rather, shouldn't be concerned with women as pastors. They should be more concerned with the issues of abuse that have been alleged in Southern Baptist congregations. And so, of course, everybody, those who could follow the SBC closely, recognize that there have been a number of not only accusations, but even litigation around sexual misconduct of some of the pastors in SBC churches. While that's under investigation, he, like others, have connected these two issues. And the way they connect these, Chris, is they say, if you're a complementarian, meaning if you believe in male leadership in the role of pastor, then you are a part of the problem that created the sexual abuse. They connect the dots on those two things. And so rather than recognizing those two things are not synonymous, that just because something, is similar in kind, that doesn't mean, just because a male may be a complementarian doesn't automatically make him a sexual abuser. They the idea around that is convoluted. The second argument that he makes, as it relates to this, is that there are more black churches. This one is a trip. You'll like this one, Chris, that there are more black churches with female pastors. And so therefore, if the SBC holds to a complementarian view on the issue of female pastors, meaning that they want male leadership in those roles, that what they're doing is racist, because they really are targeting inadvertently predominantly black churches who have a larger number of female pastors in their ranks. And so, again, this is just a ploy at using or leveraging the issue of ethnicity for the purpose of advancing Rick Warren's cause. And again, I think everyone kind of sees through that line of reasoning. His third point that he made was that the Bible actually supports women serving as pastors. And this is where it became very interesting, because he cited three particular texts of scripture. One was the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. And his argument with that was, that we've been told that the scripture, actually reads, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that's been commanded." His idea there was that there were men and women there who were receiving the Great Commission. And so women are being commissioned by Christ himself to go and teach, as a form of gospel proclamation. And so therefore that was evidence that it was okay for women, to serve in the role of pastor. The problem with that is that there's no recognition on the part of Rick Warren that there's a difference between gospel proclamation and church government. There's a different set of rules. There's a different set of scriptures that apply to church government that don't apply to someone speaking, declaring, promoting the gospel. His second text was Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And this is the point at which Peter is explaining what's happening on the day of Pentecost. They're out there declaring the glories of God in unknown tongues, unknown to them, known by those who were around hearing their proclamation. And his argument here, Warren's argument here, was that there were women and men who were declaring the truths of God. And so therefore, if that took place at the point of the church's inauguration, well, then if we go to the original time of something happening, that's the best point at which to determine doctrine uncorrupted. And as a result, he believed that women should be able to preach. And again, there's a difference, there's a dichotomy here between gospel proclamation, proclaiming the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, death, burial, and resurrection, and church governance, church government, and the way that the church is set up. And then finally, he used Matthew 28:8-9, Luke 24:10, where what we have here is the story of the women who approached the burial of Jesus. They go to the empty tomb. An angel tells them that he's not there and to go and tell the apostles. The idea there is that in their telling of the apostles, that Jesus was no longer in the grave, that he had risen, and that they were informed by that there were these women who were now teaching apostles, that they had something to teach the apostles rather than informing the apostles of a message that they had been given and then thereby delivered. None of those have any relationship to church government. When we look at church government, we actually have to go to 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:6, 1 Timothy 12:2, 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, and all of these are either in the context of 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, and in 1 Timothy 2:12, they are very clear indications within the church context that women are not allowed to teach or have authority over men. Again, this is church governance. The same with 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:6. These are the actual rules by which, if you will, the standards by which we determine who is able to serve in the role of pastor. And here we have a clear indication that leadership for this office must be the husband of one wife. And so a woman is not going to be a husband to a wife. A man is going to be a husband to a wife, indicating that it is a man who is able to serve in these contexts. And again, not all men are qualified to serve as pastors either. The scripture is clear that these are to be men of a particular standard. And so Rick Warren used 3 to 4 scriptures unrelated to church governance in an effort to claim that he now, 3 years ago, had the revelation that perhaps everyone historically had gotten this issue of women pastors wrong, but now he was going to set the record straight and be an example as a church for how this should absolutely be done.
And we have an anonymous listener who says, I am remaining anonymous because I have a number of friends who are pastors in a particular denomination that ordains women, even though they are not liberal. The constant excuse I hear from them is that there is nothing to fear in doing this because they have not caved in to the leftist world on other important issues of the faith. My problem with this approach is that, number one, it's not biblical, but number two is that this kind of hermeneutic almost always eventually leads to the ordination of homosexuals. Can you respond to this? In fact, I just had lunch with a pastor today who had a great line. I don't know if it was his own, but he said, although all churches that ordain women do not eventually ordain homosexuals, all churches that ordain homosexuals started by ordaining women.
That's exactly right. You basically took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, that's exactly the case, that while not all that ordain women advance the LGBTQIA plus agenda, all that do advance their cause, the Alphabet Mafia's cause, do indeed also support the ordination of women in those roles. So there is a slippery slope, if you will, to the idea that we could ignore the clear teachings of Scripture for the purpose of reflecting a culture, or for the purpose of relating to the culture. To the earlier portion of the question where she had asked, where she had said that the response is that by the pastors who do this say that they've not given over to the woke culture in other areas or to feminism. The reality is they absolutely have given in to feminism. What they've given into is it really stems all the way back to a Genesis 3 issue, where what we learn after the fall is that a woman would desire to usurp the authority of her husband, but Scripture says that he would rule over her. What we're witnessing is that women are desiring the roles that are given to men for the purpose of usurping the authority that God's given. I'll also add this, Chris. At the end of the day, Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, and died a death on a Roman cross, suffering as he did for the purpose of the purchase of the bride of Christ, the church. How dare we or anyone believe that we can determine a better way by which to do quote unquote church than Jesus Christ intended as we understand it through the pages of his written word. So that's a lot of audacity for a pastor to believe that he has a better way than Christ does, than what has been revealed in the pages of Scripture by the Holy Spirit.
And of course, we have to constantly remind people who hear us saying these things that this has absolutely nothing to do with the talent of a woman, with the brilliance of a woman, with the biblical literacy of a woman. There are gifted women out there that may even be superior in their oratory gifts in preaching the gospel than men, but they should never be in positions of authority in the church or preaching to men.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. What we're witnessing, though, and I've written about this in the past, is a culture, church culture, and even a quote unquote conservative church culture within the SBC that has really abandoned what Scripture has to say on these issues, and more by percentage are okay, are comfortable with seeing women in these roles, and as a result, we're seeing more women in those roles. And so it's a space and place that that women should be protected from. Pastors who operate in this space know the challenges and the rigor that are required. And to the point that you made, it has nothing to do with the effectiveness or giftings of a woman. It has everything to do with what God has said that he desires as it pertains to his church. Just a quick numbers here. There was a poll that was done early in early 2011 that said 73% of female Southern Baptists favor women in the pulpit, compared to just 58% of Southern Baptist men. While the number for the men is lower than 73%, I think it should be shocking that 58% of men actually prefer or favor a woman in the pulpit. Those are some startling numbers, and you see that reflected in what took place for Rick Warren the first time that this issue was examined by the Credentials Committee within the Southern Baptist Convention. They weren't sure, given the nature of the pragmatism or the pragmatic approach on this issue. In their mind, the pragmatism ensues when a vast majority favors it. Well, if they favor it, well, then it must be okay. So when they approach the convention, or when they approached the convention last year, there was a lot of confusion about whether or not that Rick Warren was in the right or in the wrong as it relates to this issue, when Scripture is absolutely clear on this subject.
I wonder if Rick was critical of the Roman Catholic Church for barring women from the priesthood, since he calls Pope Francis his pope.
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I don't disagree. It's interesting to witness his response in these spaces. I don't question his salvation. I do question his judgment on numerous accounts and in a variety of different ways when he says things like that related to his pope. If he understands at all Catholicism and the heretical nature of the role of the Pope, he would never call the Pope my Pope. That just wouldn't come out of his mouth. The same is true with regard to this issue. Rick Warren has to know that the text of Scripture that he used in this context have absolutely nothing to do with the selection of qualified men for the position of pastor, and Scripture doesn't contradict. For him to believe that those scriptures actually say what he believes them to say would be an admission, an admission on his part that Scripture actually contradicts itself, and that presents its own set of additional problems for which we'd need to contend.
Well, we have another anonymous listener who asks, in spite of the good news that the Southern Baptist Convention disfellowship Rick Warren, have they reached the point where they are so theologically corrupt that we should not be affiliated with them in membership?
I think questions of fellowship are important. I think the questions should the Southern Baptist, I missed part of that. Should the Southern Baptist be connected with them in membership? I missed that part, Chris.
The listener was asking, should a Christian be a member of a Southern Baptist church? I think that's what the listener seemed to be saying. He was applauding, or she, I don't know which, was applauding the Southern Baptist Convention for disfellowshipping Rick Warren, but nonetheless saying that have they, since they have reached such a state of theological corruption and corruption in attitude and practice, should we be a member? Should anybody be a member of the Southern Baptist?
I know that you're very aware that the church that I'm a part of here, in Douglasville, Georgia, Praise Mill Baptist Church, We walked away, removed any kind of connection that we have to the Southern Baptist Convention, and stated for several reasons why that decision was made by church leadership and the elders here at Praise Mill. At the same time, we recognized and said in the statement before we departed Southern Baptist circles that there are good Southern Baptists, there are great Southern Baptists, there
Dr. Tom Askell for one. Of the founders' ministries.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're great Southern Baptists. And you can't paint with a broad brush all Southern Baptists. And you do have to look at each one on an individual basis, each church on an individual basis through the grid of Scripture, as always. But at the same time, we just felt from a standpoint of what we see, the direction that we saw, that leadership was headed, and continues to head in a more of a left-leaning liberal direction, that we'd rather not have to fight those battles. We're already waging a war, as it relates to culture. We're already engaged in a battle for the souls of men. Within the culture, and we really don't have the desire to look at our rear flank to recognize that even our own have capitulated on issues like social justice, have capitulated on issues like women pastors and egalitarianism, and are moving in a direction to embrace other ideas that encompass more of a woke ideology, the softening of issues related to the LGBTQIA+. Agenda, the kinds of things that we're hearing from quote unquote Southern Baptist pulpits as it relates to that. And so we just felt like it was better for us to walk away, to separate. There are others, like you mentioned, our dear brother Tom Askell, who've made the decision to stay in and fight those battles, and we commend them for that and pray for them as they navigate those waters. I just recognize that it is not the job of any given church to quote unquote save Southern Baptist. The Southern Baptist Convention. It is our job to go and preach the gospel, and the sooner we could walk away from anything that hinders us from doing that, I'm really pleased that we were able to do that.
And we are going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureCommGroup.com. That's SecureCommGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot.
Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back, Virgil. We have a question from Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers. It amazes me that for hundreds of years, the church has followed biblical principles of men being elders. Now, over the last 100 years, those that don't believe in the sufficiency of Holy Scripture are telling those of us that do how to interpret God's holy word. We've seen the fruits from this: unregenerate church members, women pastors, homosexual endorsements, and the murder of babies in the womb. I think it's time we start calling out these leaders for their heresy and pray for our brothers and sisters still in the Southern Baptist Convention. Do you agree, Virgil? And that's Grady from Asheboro, North Carolina.
Absolutely. I think you've got to recognize the culture we're in, the climate we're in, and be discerning. We've got to be Bereans about these issues. We've got to study what Scripture says and not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And so all of this, as it relates to issues of egalitarianism, issues of CRT, all of that, we need to take a minute and pause and look and see what's being said by whom. And regardless of the credential they have, whether it's a denomination or a pastor or an individual, if what they're saying does not align with Scripture, we've got to take a step back and then follow up with what the caller said, which is, or the listener said, which is, we need to pray for them. We need to consider their condition and pray that they'll repent and return to the sufficiency of the Scripture.
Well, I'd like you to have about 3 minutes of uninterrupted time to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, Virgil.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always a joy to get a chance to talk with you and to engage the listeners. One, I would tell everyone to definitely participate in the G3 conference coming up September 21st through the 23rd of this year. It's going to be an amazing conference on the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, and most importantly, that God is indeed sovereign, not only sovereign in the issues of weather or of creation, but also sovereign as it relates to the issue of salvation, and that before the foundation of the world was made, that he knew that we would indeed be sinners, would be sinful, that we would fall away from grace, that we would separate ourselves and make ourselves an enemy of God, and that we would need grace, that we would need to be ransomed, and that in even before the foundation of the world was laid, he had the plan to send his son as a propitiation, as a solution, as an absorber of his wrath, because he knew that we sinners deserved his wrath, but in his grace and mercy, he would send his one and only son, who lived a perfect life, died a death he did not deserve on a Roman cross, all for the purpose of redeeming mankind, so that all who would call upon the name of the Lord would indeed be saved, and that we, in the hearing of the message of the gospel, our hearts would be renewed by the very power of that same Holy Spirit, and that as a result, we would be drawn to him in salvation. My encouragement would be that all who hear the message of this gospel, this good news that Christ came and died for you, for your sins, would come to a saving knowledge of that truth, and would indeed repent of sin, place their full faith in Jesus Christ, and receive and experience eternal life.
Amen. And don't forget, when you go to g3min.org, g3min.org, to register for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, use the promo code G3ISIR. That's the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio promo code that will get you 30% off the registration fee. That's G3Men.org, G3Men.org, using promo code G3ISIR. Also, don't forget about the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, April 13th, featuring Dr. William Webster and Reverend David T. King. And that's at the Church of the Living Christ in Louisville, Pennsylvania. And also, don't forget about the three-day Bible conference during those 3 days following the luncheon, Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th, and Sunday the 16th of April. Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is the hosting church for that three-day conference, also featuring Dr. William Webster and Reverend David T. King, also free of charge, on the theme of the gospel, removed by Rome, rescued by the reformers, and rejected by modern evangelicals. Send me an email to register, absolutely free, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. I want to thank you so much, Virgil, for being such a superb guest. I want to thank my listeners, who, especially those who submitted questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.